So Marvin Rees, Mayor of Bristol, has asked the Church of Bristol if we can help the city in light of the knife crime and violence that's been it's been strong in the start of the year. There's been a lot of incidents. And I'd like to share with you this morning a bit about what's been going on, what I've seen going on with church leaders around the violence in the city. And I want to bring a little bit of teaching into how we can pray into this. And then we're going to have some time praying together. So a bit of context, and which many of you will be aware of. So it looks like knife crime and violence in Bristol has been growing in the last couple of years. I think the stats were 2022, 2023. It's gone up by a third in the city, on the streets. And there've been other incidents, but there were three particular ones that were in the press a lot in January and February. There was a boy called Darian, who was killed in Easton in February, and I think before that incident, there were four other stabbings that happened, and then there was two boys in Knowle West shortly afterwards, and then most recently, it was a different kind of violence in that it wasn't a sort of gang related event, but there were these three children that were killed, siblings in Seamills. Really recently as well, in February. So these are big things happening in our city, and they're not new. Sometimes some of them have got more press than things that have happened in years gone by. But it's a question really, like, how do we respond to this as Christians? Can we pray in a way that will affect change? Is it that actually Jesus said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and towards the end of the age, things will get worse. So can we pray that these things will stop completely? What's a realistic thing for us to pray? How do we go about engaging with that in prayer? So this book, quite a few people in Hope have read this book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Everyone struggles to get the words the right way around. Praying Like Fools, Living Like Monks. I know the Gloucester Road Life Group have been tracking with it together. And Louis and I were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, about chapter 7 particularly. And I want to just to bring a little bit from that, because I think it helps us to consider how we pray in light of violence in Bristol, but also in other seemingly really big things. And it's particularly chapter 7 that Louis and I were talking about the middle voice. So the New Testament was written in Greek. I don't know about you, but I'm really rubbish at grammar. At school, I could never remember things like what an adverb is, or I still don't know. I think I know what a pronoun is. That's like a he, she, it, isn't it? That's I can do that, but I'm not very good at grammar. I find it really boring, and I don't remember it. But apparently, say this book in chapter 7 tells us is that there's a concept called the middle voice, which was in the Greek that the Bible, the New Testament, was written in, that doesn't translate into our English grammar in the same way. And so the way he describes it is that in English we have a kind of an active voice where we are the one who's doing something, and we have a kind of passive voice where something is being done to us. And often we can think of prayer in those two terms. We can think of prayer as like, active. It's got to be me that initiates it. I've got to wake up this sleeping giant God over here, and because he's unaware and probably doesn't care or something, I've got to try and persuade him to act and to bring justice into this situation that I think needs resolving. So I've got to be the initiator. I've got to do the heavy lifting to wake up the giant who could potentially help. Or the other way, looking at it, the passive way is. Who am I? I'm just a human. God sovereignly has started all of this and will bring it all to conclusion. I don't have a lot of agency in this. I'll just hope that God will do something. It's that kind of passive, hopefully God will do something to me or through me expectation. But then this middle voice way, Tyler Statton describes it as, is a kind of middle of those in that it's a participation, and And it's where we join in with what God is already doing. And I think that sounds to me like the way of Jesus, doesn't it? When I think of these phrases, particularly in John's gospel, where you see Jesus walking with his father, and he says things like, I only do what I see my father doing. He says the son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the father doing. He says the father has entrusted all responsibility to the son. And there's this partnership. I'm the father, the father is in me, we are one. Anyone who's seen me has seen the father. And Jesus invites us as his followers into that participatory relationship. And I think what shows that really well, I'm trying to make a sculpture of this. It's been taking me a few years and I haven't got very far yet. But it's in John chapter 15, Jesus describes himself using this metaphor of a grapevine. And he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain, so if you kind of picture this, this is the sort of sculpture I'm trying to think about making. It's like a kind of a person, and it would look like something like this. So arms outstretched, and this is the grapevine. And we are the branches that are fed and part of this vine. So our water, our nutrition comes from the trunk. And then you've got the father, who's the gardener, and the father's sort of sensitively behind the vine, pruning and shaping and tending the vine. And so with that image in mind, I think that describes the kind of participatory relationship between us and God really well. Because Jesus says in John 15, he says, remain in me and I'll remain in you and you'll bear much fruit. And he says, you can ask me anything you want and I'll do it for you. I'll give it to you. And it's kind of obvious, isn't it, that if we're a part of Jesus and his life, his water, his nutrition, his energy is flowing through us, we're naturally, and this is the development of us, the growth of us as Christians, we're naturally going to have his prayers, his desires flowing within us. So there's this participatory relationship that we have with God as we pray. I could go on and explain them. This, the book talks about the Mary encounter, but I want to keep this quite brief because we're gonna be praying in a minute. But bringing that back to, so neither the active voice of prayer where we've got to wake the giant to do something, or the passive where hope we just sort of hope he might do something, but the participatory. How do we pray into the violence and so on in Bristol? What is God already doing here? How can we participate with what God is already doing? And I think we see part of that in the Bible. I was just saying to Sam before the service, we're sitting here just chatting, and where Jesus says, I do only what I see the Father doing. I think there'd be a kind of a big picture to that. Jesus knew why he was sent from God. He had a big vision and a big purpose to fulfill, which part of that was going to Jerusalem, was being crucified and was dying and rising from the dead. So he knew that was the big, that was what the Father was doing through him. So he had this kind of big story that he was part of. And then he also had the values and the love of the Father that were part of his life, so that when he sees someone who's broken or hurt or oppressed, he knows that the Father's desire is to heal and is to bring compassion and is to restore. And he's also, I think, hearing probably prophetically as well. This is what God's saying to us now. So I'd just like to share a bit about how church leaders in Bristol are responding to Marvin's request for help. And there's really three areas that we've been working on. And I'd like to tell you a bit in a minute about the relationship between church leaders, because I think it's really encouraging. And again, I think it's part of what God's doing, and I think it will encourage us. So three things that we're looking at: investing in the city, conscious that things like gang violence don't come out of nowhere. They're formed over years. And so looking at how can the church join in with organizations that are already doing things around so provision of youth groups, provision of mentoring, provision of supporting vulnerable people or people that could be exposed to violence and go in that direction. So the kind of long-term stuff. Secondly, praying for the city. And I'm going to come on to that in a minute. And thirdly, I'd just like to say a bit about pastoring the city. Because by this I mean the church, us and the other believers in the city, caring for and supporting and encouraging the city in times of pain and in times of crisis. And this is happening, I think, in a really in a beautiful way. It's something that can happen more, but there's a lot of it happening already in these times, and I think this is encouraging for us. Micah spoke a few weeks ago here about salt and light. We're the salt of the earth, from Matthew 5. We're the light of the world. And thinking about Bristol, and I'm conscious that from here we're not just the city of Bristol, but we're Nailsea, Backwell, Long Ashton, Clevedon, you know, Portishead, areas right across the sort of greater Bristol region. But thinking about these areas, and Cornwall here as well, and I reckon there's salt probably pretty much in every, maybe on every street, but in every neighborhood for sure. And so these three recent incidents that have been had particularly in the news a lot, we have people in the room here, and people who are part of Hope, whose lives are involved with each of those areas. We have someone who's worked with a boy, Darian, that was killed in Easton. We have someone who's medically involved with family of the stabbings in Knoll West. We have a couple that are leading a missional community within that community as well. We have people within Hope who are live just a couple of streets away from the three children that were killed in Seamills. And then in our church leaders called like 2 weeks ago, we heard hearing some of the other ways in which the Church of Bristol is involved in these things. So the Methodist Church in Seamills has been open and been a real kind of refuge spot for the community there. I think there are three other families from one of the Woodlands churches live on the same street as that family, and they knew that family really well and were really involved in their lives. So this family had quite a lot of contact with church. And then in Knoll West, the school that's affected has Christians going in and mentoring some of the other children in the school that have been affected by these stabbings. These are just a few of the examples just of the way that the church is pastoring the city. And salt is in the city, bringing comfort and bringing encouragement to the city already. And I think that's really encouraging. The church is doing some really good things. Christians are doing some really good things in the midst of these difficult places. I just want to say a little bit now about some of the things that are going on with church leaders. And I think. Bristol is historically quite a divided city racially, and you know, we know that some of the horrible history of Bristol, but even in more recent years, you know, that certain ethnicities and racial groups live in certain areas. It's not perfect like that. There is obviously crossover and so on, but there is to a large extent, and this has even been experience within church leadership. So the church leadership networks in the city have been quite divided. They've been sort of black church networks, white church networks, and not in a malicious way, but I think maybe just culturally and relationally, lives haven't mixed very much. And I think it's the role of the church to lead the way in healing some of these divisions within the city. And a really encouraging thing that's happened through COVID was in, I think it was 2021, a weekly church leaders Zoom was begun, which I just looked at my WhatsApp today. I think there's 67 church leaders on that group. There's probably about 10 or 12 of us in each meeting each week, but maybe like 30 or so that are really regular. And the wonderful thing is that this is a real mix, black and white, different ethnicities as well, coming together to pray every week, and some really good relationships are forming here. And I wasn't going to say this, but I think it's important, because part of the call on us as a church, Hope Chapel here, since it started, was to be a prayer center for the city. And we've, you know, for the last 24 years, been navigating what does that look like, how do we do that. But actually, we're really a part of of what's going on in the city here. So this WhatsApp group, I think Silas actually started it in 2021 together with a guy called Ray Vieira. And so Silas was really at the heart of that. And we've called a day of prayer for the city, and calling all Christians, all churches in the city. And I've organized that, actually. I don't want to blow my own trumpet. But I think it's important to say that there's something on us as a church that is a call to be this prayer center for the city. And churches have really got behind this and really said, yeah, we really want to do this. We really want to get on board right across the church spectrum. So all different denominations. So on Wednesday, we're going to have a shared day of prayer and fasting. Some of the churches said, hey, let's open our doors to people who aren't Christians as well to come in and pray. We're going to have some gathered times. We're going to have a Zoom at 7 a.m. For everyone who'd like to join in that together. And then we're going to have a gathering in the cathedral at 6 p.m. that day as the church prays and fasts. So there is a really great unity that's forming, I think, and growing. And my hope and my expectation is that, we're obviously partnering with God's House, aren't we, looking to bridge some of the racial division within the city through relationally doing things together as churches. But, I just wanted to share a bit of that with you, because I think this is a bit of our story at Hope. We're called to be a part of, maybe a leader in prayer for the city. And I think this is something that God's doing and something for us to be encouraged by. If you'd like to be part of it, so there'll be more news coming out in our fortnightly email and WhatsApp tomorrow. But love to spend the next 15 minutes or so. Sam's going to come and lead us on the piano. And for us to have some time considering violence in the city and how we pray, how we respond. So he's going to start us off in worship. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to put this to affect our hearts, really, and to lead us in praying for the city. To speak to us, to inspire us. I'd like to capture any prophetic words that we have that might feed into these kind of days of prayer. And I imagine some of us, I don't know, might be feeling fairly indifferent about this. We hear so many things in the news, don't we, all the time, that we sort of get crisis and tragedy overload, really, that you can't sort of take it all in. And often if it's maybe nearer to us, we know someone who's personally involved, or then that suddenly makes it land in our lap in our heart in a deeper way. So don't be concerned if you're really not feeling this. But the invitation here is for us to ask God to speak to us and to lead us in a church in praying. So would you be up for standing? And I'm going to start us off, and Sam's going to take us into to worship. So Father, We want to pray for the city of Bristol now. And I want to thank you for the privilege of participation with you. We're neither having to persuade this force to do something nor hope that they might, but instead we get to partner with you as Jesus modeled to us when he was here on earth. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill us, you fill this room. Pray that you put in our hearts and our minds and our spirits a spirit of prayer and intercession for the city. Amen.
Just as we were praying for the service, I had this image of this great tide of water that we could all step into and it was like just such a strong body of water that was just had like all this momentum, all this all this strength, all this life to it. I think as we're praying, as we're worshiping, I think there's again like another invitation just to step into that water and and be a part of what God's doing and what he's on the move doing, just as Chris was saying about praying from the middle voice and praying out of what God's already doing and wanting to do. Anyway, so we're not going to brute strength this prayer. I'm gonna lean into God.
Strength arises as we wait upon the Lord. He who wait upon the Lord. He who wait upon the Lord. Strength arises as we wait upon the Lord. He who wait upon the Lord. He who wait upon the Lord. Strength arises as we wait. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. You wait upon the Lord. You wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. You wait upon the Lord. You wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. You wait upon the Lord. You wait upon the Lord our God. Do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Thank you.
we sit in this thing about you're the defender of the weak. Do you keep playing, Sam? And I wonder if we can stay in that prayer. I think part of it is this part of Bristol, and some of these things are quite localized in different parts of Bristol. Some of us live in the parts of Bristol that are really in the midst of violence. Others of us don't. And part of the calling on us as Christians, Alice spoke on it really a few weeks ago, is to go after those who are in a place of pain and struggle. And it's exactly what Jesus did, didn't it? Coming from glory, the relationship, intimacy with the Father, coming to earth, taking on the pain of humanity and flesh, and pursuing his own. And I recognize that part of my journey on this is moving out of my strong tower, my safe and comfortable place, to look to engage with the troubles of our neighbours in the city, and to take them on as our own. So you know, maybe that different ones of us are called to this in to greater extents than others. I'm not saying we should all suddenly own this as our priority in the week, but certainly in this time of prayer now, let's stand with those in the city for whom this is a very real fear or a very real pain, for those who've lost people, for those who would be in that world of violence. And let's sing this, you're the defender of the weak, and just sit in that. That's the nature of God, and that's what he's calling us to be.
Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Take this on as our own problem. The violence in our city, the vulnerability of young people. We say that isn't as it should be. That's not the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. That's not the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we choose now to connect with the pain of families that have lost people to violence, that have young people particularly who are involved in violence. We pray that you move our hearts, and we pray for comfort for those who mourn. We pray that you're near to the families that are suffering. We pray for peace. We pray for a different direction of travel for young people in Bristol, that there are other options, that there are leaders within them, within their communities, that will turn people away from violence to better ways of living. Amen.
Amen.
I just had a picture for Bristol, and it was Moses parting the Red Sea. And often Bristol's seen as so divided, with the river almost like a symbol of that north and south division. And I just felt God almost drying up the river, and people from the north just reaching out to the south, but equally people from the south reaching out to the north, because we all have so much to give and offer to each other. And just this incredible sense of unity over the city, and that actually end of division, and that we have so much almost to receive from people in the south, but also we have so much to give. So just to really encourage everyone, wherever you live, let's look to our neighbor, and let's really pray for that citywide unity that is bubbling up in this season.
Got a sense of a new covenant watchman, not the Old Testament style watchman with the implications that comes with being a watchman, but a new covenant watchman over Bristol, standing on the wall, looking not just inside the city wall, but outside the city wall in the spiritual realm. And there's an invitation, I feel, for us to stand on the wall and spiritually look for those enemies and look past what we see with the eye. Things coming so that there is peace in the walls of the city.
Another one that we have often, the drape at the back here was painted by someone who was a part of this church 20 years ago called Karina. And I don't know if you know, if you can picture the image in your mind's eye, but going to what Susie was saying, it's a picture of the river with a suspension bridge, and there's people on the banks, the church, the collective church of the city praising God, but the sun is setting on the or rising, one of them, but there is a boat coming, and the boat is bringing Jesus. That was her vision, was the boat is bringing Jesus through this river into our city, and it's bringing unity of worship and praise on either side, of on both banks. And I think there's something really, in what Susie was saying, was really true and prophetic, and was reflected in that image of let's welcome Jesus in. Let's welcome Jesus into our city. Let's see him coming in. Let's see him bringing healing. Let that river that is flowing out of the throne. In Revelation, it talks about the river flowing from the throne and bringing healing on either side of the river. And that's the water, the river of life, and the river that has been a symbol of division potentially, and those metaphorical divisions in our city. Let them be rivers of healing. Let them welcome Jesus into those places. Let us welcome Jesus into those places where there have been division, and let actually, in kind of that, Japanese pots, when they're broken, we know that whole thing about they then, repair them with gold, and that actually that becomes a symbol of the healing. There is a beauty that comes from the brokenness, and let's see that, and let's pray that over our city, that a beauty from the brokenness. Yes, Jesus.
So let's come into Lamb by just all praying together at the same time. There'll be different things that we've heard and people have said that will resonate with different ones of us, but let's together pray out loud for the city of Bristol.
I'm just going to sing this over us a cappella. Beautiful brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Julia. So just to finish, chapter 7 of this book, do you have a seat? Also talks about the life of Mother Teresa, and there's a quote about her life of loving the poor in Calcutta in India as being just an outworking of actually her love for Jesus. And she talks about herself as a sort of contemplative sort of nun who just happens to serve the poor as a consequence of worshipping Jesus. And it's that participation with God in prayer is a journey, isn't it? And I think the invitation for us today is to involve ourselves with the pain of the city. And it's an invitation to say that actually the pain that others are feeling and the challenges that others are feeling is for us as well. And I say that with a sort of caveat of compassion fatigue. And I know that, as you said, lots of us are already serving in areas of pain and so on, and not wanting to heap more stuff on you. So this needs to be a thing that I think the Holy Spirit puts on us. A spirit of prayer this week for us as a church, particularly for Tuesday and Wednesday. And for some of you, that might be it, you know, on this area of violence. And actually the work that the Lord has for you is elsewhere. And it's important you're not loaded up with excessive stuff. But it's the invitation is for us to take on the pain of others as Jesus leads us. So can we just finish just by praying for ourselves and responding to that? And if you agree, I'm going to pray that for myself. And if you agree, then you can say amen. So Lord, I just want to begin by saying that I want to identify with and connect with the pain of others in the city, particularly around violence and knife crime at the moment. Don't want to just stay in my place of safety and comfort, but I want to become involved with this in the way that you lead me into it, Holy Spirit. Maybe it's just for a couple of days. Maybe it's a more of an ongoing work. But Lord, I say I want to be led by you. I say that not in a passive way of you might sort of drag me along there, but actually I actively want to join in with what you're doing and what you're calling us to at Hope, and what you're calling me to as an individual. So, give you my life again today. Trust you. So grateful to know you and to be able to follow you. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Bristol, as it is in heaven. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Hi. This is Alice's father.
Thanks, sir. I'm a visitor here, and I always enjoy coming. God has just given me a verse which I think is for Bristol, and that is, I think it's from Isaiah, and he wants to give this city beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I think that's a promise for this city. Thank you.
Thank you. That's actually particularly special in light of this is the privilege of us being involved in the life of the city. And so there was a man who was here some years ago called Sam Farmer, and he owned a restaurant, a building in Stokescroft, and in St Paul's, which is an area largely affected by violence. You know, that's one of the parts of the city that's quite affected. And he, praying in the prayer centre up here, was inspired to paint on the wall of that building, beauty from ashes, that verse. And I think I've watched since then, that area of St. Paul's has become probably a safer area. And it was a prophetic start of something that's changed in that area. So that's, it's really special to be involved and have these encouragements of God at work in us and through us. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thanks, everyone. It's really special to be with you. It's special to pray this mysterious life of following Jesus, this bewildering, journey of prayer that we're learning and growing in. But it's special to be on it with you. Thank you. So we'll finish there. If you've got children to collect from the school or in the crypt, then go ahead. And we'll also just put the chairs and tables away as part of our relationship building. Pray as you do it. Thanks.